It's time again for Health Talk on KFAR Radio. 30 minutes of healthy conversation about practical ways to improve your quality of life. Now, from the all-new White Spruce Medical, here's your host, Dr. Scott Looper.
Good afternoon, Fairbanks, and welcome back to Sensible Health Solutions. I'm your host, Haley, and here with me, as usual, is Dr. Scott Looper. How are you, Dr. Looper?
Good. I'm so glad you're back.
I'm glad.
I had to do the show by myself for like 2 weeks, and I tell you, I missed you.
Yeah, life's been getting busy. Life's been getting really busy, and I'm glad to be back. I'm glad that we're back in the radio station, too. This is a throwback. We've been doing it in our office for a few weeks and recording and posting on YouTube, and time did not permit for that today, so we're back in the radio station.
Yep.
So it's nice to be back. Well, in, you know, spirit of sticking with theme, we're all kind of coming down from running ragged over the summer. We've all been really busy. I know I've been burning the candle at both ends. And I think what I would like to talk about is how to implement routine and structure. And, you know, you do this with your patients every day. You create a plan for living. You create a plan for fighting whatever disease they have, whatever sickness or illness, and just how to take care of yourself. And so I think I need a refresher.
Okay. So the thing I've noticed is if you want to get better, you need to set up a system that feeds you, that builds you up, that allows your body to do the things that it was designed to do, to break down nutrients and absorb them, to heal the things that get broken in normal day-to-day activities, to engage in stuff that's fun and makes you happy and makes you smile and makes it all worthwhile. So it turns out the quality of how you spend your time and how you put things together in the biggest picture is the most important thing that you can do to make your life work, to make it worth living. Okay, so that's so it's true. Everything I just said true, but it's so general and vague, it's not really all that useful. So I think what we should do is really kind of talk about how we can do this in a way that's practical, that really makes a difference in your life. And it's fairly simple and doesn't blow up the entire life. And in fact, let me start off with kind of a general concept, which is we have instincts and they're usually pretty good. Our instincts tell us to sleep when we're tired, to drink when we're thirsty,
to eat when we're hungry,
to breathe air when we need air, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it turns out we take it for granted that all that stuff is there because, you know, we live in our bodies, right? But it mostly our bodies know what to do and put us in the right track, right?
Mm-hmm.
Except for when our bodies don't.
Yeah, except for when our bodies are struggling to know what's wrong.
So let me give an example. There is an instinct that we have to seek out the highest quality food in our environment. We have this instinct.
Is that by color and by texture?
No, it's mostly by taste.
By taste, okay.
You're right. Color and texture does count.
Right, but like I think, you know, if I'm looking for berries, I'm looking for
purple's better than white.
Yeah, the most vibrant color.
We have an instinct that the purple ones are better. And they are.
Tomatoes, yeah. I'm looking at the tomato. When do I pick the tomato?
They're
not
actually
an
better.
Orange when it's red.
Yeah. Right. So we have an ability to do shortcuts. We don't do this intense analysis of our environment. We've learned to do shortcuts because we just got to get stuff done. And you look around and, ooh, I like that one. Those green ones over there, that's the one I want. And so there's an instinct of what to do to get the best stuff in the world for you. Now, I get to see humanity in the rough every day because I have a 9-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And he lives by his instincts.
Mm-hmm.
He's not real contemplative.
Mm-mm.
God bless him. He's great. He's got a big heart, and he's generous, and he's got energy, and he's just a fabulous kid. But he also lives by the seat of his pants, right?
Absolutely.
And he has learned that the best things in life are sweet and rich and salty.
And chocolate.
And he would live on, you know, greasy carbohydrates.
Yeah,
greasy,
pizza.
Salty carbohydrates every meal, every day of the week. But here's the thing. I get to see it play out from time to time where he gets no supervision because I know, because I'm a doctor and a dad, that living on greasy, salty carbohydrates is not the best thing that you can do. Now, in the olden days, it was, because when we lived in and amongst the bushes,
mm-hmm.
and the trees, mm-hmm. right? Turns out the greasy stuff was the best.
Right.
The salty stuff,
it was,
we were hitting
go
the mark.
To the reserve. It was going to stay in your system longer, give you energy for longer.
If you found a skinny little rabbit that was living well, eating grass, and putting on a little fat, you got a better rabbit. So those greasy rabbits, mm-hmm. which, by the way, there's no such thing hardly, but if you get the greasy rabbits, those are better.
Mm-hmm.
Or greasy moose, because you got a big, healthy moose. It's got a little fat on it.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. That is the best thing you can find, right? And also the sweet stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What's the best? You know, you go out and you find, you know, apricots growing on the trees, the ones that are the best for you, the ones that have the most nutrition, they have the most minerals, that have the most, all the things that you need, those are the sweet ones.
Yeah.
Now, our farmers know this, and so there's this thing where they check the sugar content of fruits and vegetables. It's called a BRIX score, B-R-I-X. And the higher the BRIX score, the better the food.
Okay.
The better it is for you, the more money they can get for it. So they strive to get the highest BRIX scores they can. And what they've done over the centuries, you know, thousands of years even, millennia, is they've picked the sweet ones and grown the babies from those.
Yeah, and they've grown them with other genetics of other plants to
increase their sweetness.
So now we have cotton candy grapes.
Yeah, that's a great example.
That's insane. I ate some cotton candy grapes the other day, and I'm like, this is not
They
real
turn grapes
food.
Into Skittles.
Yeah.
We're moving out of the food land.
Yeah.
Now, I have to watch my blood sugars because I have this blood sugar problem.
That cotton candy grapes are forbid.
I can't.
No.
I can't eat them. I can't eat them.
Even regular grapes. Just regular red grapes.
They're still too much.
Yeah.
They're too sweet.
Too sweet.
All of the grapes.
Yeah.
At the grocery store. Now, if we get heirloom grapes, the kind of sour ones that are funky, and they got seeds in them, and they're really, no one would ever buy them because you get these other good ones, those ones I can eat.
Okay.
The old-fashioned grapes, I can eat those.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I had this happen earlier in the summer where I went and bought cherries, and then I ate a bunch of cherries. Not a bunch, because if you eat a bunch of cherries, you get diarrhea, and I know not to eat that many cherries, but I don't know, 30, I mean, some kind of normal amount of cherries. And I checked my blood sugars, and my blood sugars were, you know, just a hair short of 180.
Oh, no.
I'm trying to keep them below 150.
Yeah.
And I did it on cherries. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm eating fruit. Cherries. Cherries are safe.
No,
cherries.
Fruit is not. People tell me, like, oh, it's all sugar. Like, when I'm looking at things at Costco, and I check the nutrition label, and I look at how many grams of sugar in it, I'm like, oh, my God, that's 32 grams of sugar in this pressed juice. And they say, oh, well, It's natural sugar. And I'm like,
so
no.
My sugars go naturally high.
Yeah. No, that doesn't really.
Because it's nature.
That doesn't mean it's good for you. It doesn't mean you need 32 grams of sugar in anything.
No. No. And so what happened? My blood sugars went too high. So what I learned is I can't eat those cherries.
Mm-hmm.
Those, by the way, are Rainier cherries. They're fabulous. They're bread for sugar.
Well, you can eat some. You might not be able to eat 30. You can have like 10, maybe, but
maybe
not 30.
What's the point? I'm going back to the purple ones. I swore off the Rainiers.
The yellow and the red ones?
Yeah.
Yeah, those were tasty.
Those are better.
Yeah.
If once you eat those, you don't want the other ones, the Bings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, except for the purple makes it to where my blood sugars don't go so high. The purple turns out to be a super important way for me to be able to eat them and have them be healthy. So I've learned by using my brain what I can eat and what I can't eat. My instincts leave me short. That is the point. That's the point I'm making, is our instincts is what we're up against. Our instincts tell us what is good, and in our modern world, it does not work anymore. Back when we were cavemen, it worked perfectly. Now, it sucks.
Yeah.
And it doesn't
when
work.
When we were cavemen, there weren't preservatives. There weren't artificial enhancements, and...
Yeah, Skittles hadn't been invented,
yeah.
Right?
Ice cream hadn't been invented. Cotton candy grapes.
Cotton candy grapes hadn't been invented. So I watched my little boy play it out, like, naturally, because we were at this picnic, and I was busy visiting with people, and I didn't have my eye on him,
and
he was running around.
And he was at the dessert table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he ate pizza, and he ate chips, and, you know, it's all salty and rich, and he ate some kind of candy thing. It was mostly chips is what it was. He ate... What?
Chips. What kind of... Those are like the monounsaturated carbohydrate, or it's a type of carbohydrate that is...
It's the oil, actually, is what it is. It's trans fat is what you think you're talking about.
But the carbohydrate in the chip is just like as
simple.
Metabolized. It's a simple carbohydrate.
It turns to sugar
in your body. Yeah,
instantly. Yeah, it turns to sugar. So it's a bunch of sugars that are attached to each other, so we change the name and we call it starch. But what starch is sugar.
Yeah.
Hooked together.
Yeah.
And we can unhook it beautifully. Our bodies are masterful at taking those starches and busting them up into sugars. In fact, you can get your blood sugars to go up higher by eating simple carbohydrates than you can by eating sugar out of the sugar bowl. Because you have an instinct not to eat too much sugar out of the sugar bowl because it just floods your system. Whereas you eat chips or bread or rice or potatoes or something like that, boom, your blood sugars go up higher than anything. The thing that shot my blood sugars up the most of anything was the rice they used to make sushi out of. Sticky rice is the championship food for raising my blood sugars quicker, higher, and faster than anything I've ever eaten. So I've learned I can't eat sticky rice, at least not much. I can eat about a tablespoon of sticky rice and I do okay, as long as I eat lots of protein with it. There's tricks of the trade to be able to do this thing, but this isn't the show. Let's go back to the main point of the show here, which is setting up a pattern. We're on the right track.
Yeah, we are skirting around how to set up the pattern. We're identifying where there's breakdowns in the pattern, where there are weak links in the pattern, and we can't touch those, or else we don't have a structured pattern.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. What we're up against is we're up against our instincts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard, because when you get tired, you just kind of do what's instinctual.
Well, you just do what's easy, or what is, like, comfortable, or what makes you feel good. So you want the dopamine release.
In the short run.
You want the serotonin release, and you want to feel... all the neurotransmitters that come from eating the ice cream, from eating the chips, from eating the cotton candy grapes. But
Yep. You want to get that good feeling. The problem with the good feeling, though, is it's short-lived and it leads to a bad feeling.
And then you have to eat a full gallon of ice cream.
So I guess go back to the story of Patrick running around eating whatever he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he vomited.
Mm-hmm.
His body rejected it.
Well, I can even give... an example of a 31-year-old going off the rails and eating whatever she wanted. And you know what? I get it now. I'm to the age where if I go off like that, I feel inflammation. My joints, my back, everything gets stiff, and I just feel this tremendous pain throughout my body. And it didn't happen until about this year, 31. And...
God, it's tough to get old.
I didn't believe you guys. I didn't believe anybody. I didn't believe it would happen to me. Even flying. Last week I was flying and being up in the air and then coming down, my joints were so sore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there it is. You hit the nail right on the head. Stuff happens. If you follow your instincts, you're screwed.
Mm-hmm.
You are. You can't do it. The world is not set up anymore for that to happen. You know what we got to do now? We got to use our brains.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to set a system up so that we can live well. We got to kind of pick our way through the landmines that we live in now.
Yeah, so like creating a meal plan for yourself throughout the week and picking a day where, like, yes, I'm going to go a little off the rails, and I'm going to have this sweet treat at this time of the week, and you plan for it.
Maybe. Here's the thing. If you're a normal person who can say no, they do exist. I don't know, is normal the right word? I mean, maybe it's abnormal, but those people exist where they can have a little bit, and they're okay. They can eat three chips, and they're fine. They don't have to eat the whole bag. There are other people who, forget it, you eat three chips, you're eating the whole bag.
I have to eat the bag. I'm a bag chip girl, Bert. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, let me say, there's different kinds of people, and we all of us live together, and we got to know which one we are.
Mm-hmm.
Some people can't have any. You have any, you've had it all, and they're basically, you just have an addictive personality. And you just got to know if you're one of those people or not. If you are an addictive personality, then you basically got to say, no, I'm not going to have that.
And then there are those who, you know, are the diabetics that absolutely cannot, 100% should not, cannot.
Well, you know, then now you're talking logic. Logic doesn't have a whole lot to do with it. It does. That we are speaking to your logic. Y'all listeners out there, it's your logic that will save you. But it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot be perfect. It is not possible. Trust me. I've seen this play out. I have a 30-year career here working with people, and there ain't nobody perfect. I haven't met one yet. And if there is somebody who strives for perfection intensely, they're crazy.
I think it's you, Dr. Looper. I haven't seen anybody as strict and stringent about their diet than I have you. And I've worked with you for like 2.5 years now. And it's...
I strive.
Yeah, it's...
I do. I work it. I really do. I do. I strive. But I still eat pizza. I still eat ice cream. There's those things who come in. I am actually one of those people...
Maybe like once every few months.
Who can eat a little... And I'm okay.
Yeah.
You know what I've learned? Let's talk about ice cream. Ice cream is fabulous.
Ice cream is an amazing
combination of fat and sugar and richness and flavor. And it's just an amazing food that's incredible. And it's especially good if you put hot fudge and whipped cream and some nuts and a cherry on top. And it's even better, right? Or a slice of banana. Now it's healthy, right? We're going to call it a banana split, except for 3 scoops of ice cream. Anyways, the ice cream is fabulous. And I'm gonna have a hard time if I keep talking about how great it is. Here's the rub on it. When I eat it, it makes my blood sugars go up, it makes me fat, and it makes me want more.
Mm-hmm.
So here's how I solve that problem. I don't buy it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't buy it. I don't let it in the house. Because if it comes in the house, I eat it. You know why? Because I have perfect discipline for 5 minutes. And then I don't. Because my discipline...
I can't have it in the house either. I
will
eat
tired.
The whole tub.
I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I can push my cart through the store and then not buy stuff. That I can do.
Mm-hmm.
I have the ability to do that. I have to come full, you know, like eating a meal. I can't go shopping hungry because then that doesn't work. But if I eat something before I go shopping and I'm fine and I make a list and I think it through and I decide what I'm going to eat and I'm good. It doesn't take any effort. I just push the shopping cart through the store and throw stuff in. Right. And now it's a matter of like, I need to get some vegetables, which ones are good. And I kind of poke around and the beets are kind of sad here. But look, the rutabagas are tip top. Let's throw in 3.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I look around for the good stuff. I like that. That's a fun game. It doesn't take any discipline. I'm just looking for food to eat because I got to make this soup that I eat every day for lunch. You watch me eat this thing and I throw a bunch of vegetables together and season the heck out of it. And every week it's like the best soup I've ever had in my entire life because I keep trying to figure out how to make it good because it's good. It turns out to be really actually tasty. I like the concoctions that I'm coming up with. So that's how I do it is I set up a pattern, which is I bring lunch. Okay, so I can't do carbs much. And so I need to eat protein, yeah, mostly, and then lots of vegetables. I can either do a salad or I can do this stew thing. And I did salad for 15 years, and I like salad. Salad's good. But can we do a stew? Because I just want to change.
Mm-hmm.
So now I throw a bunch of stuff into the pot, season the heck out of it, and just strive to make it good. Does it need hot peppers in it? We'll try that. Does it need cumin in it? Let's give that a go. Does it need whatever? I just try various kinds of things. And then what I end up doing is torturing the poor clinic because I cooked this stuff and the whole clinic smells like good soup. And like,
yeah,
what
it's great.
What is you're eating there?
Yeah, yeah. I ask almost every other week. I know when you change your recipe.
Yeah.
I can smell it.
Yeah, I go make a new kind of soup. And I never eat the same one twice. If I make a soup that's really good, well, you better enjoy it now because you're never going to have it again because it's unique. It's based on the fact that this week rutabagas were better than the beets.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the things I threw in. Also, we got this bok choy thing, and the onions are killer, man, because I got the ones that got the purple on them and like that. Always looking for the best ingredients, chopping them up, throwing them in a pot, and it turns out to be really good. You know what actually makes it good is those freaking kielbasas.
Oh, yeah, the kielbasa.
Their
kielbasas are really dangerous, though. They're really fatty.
Super fatty. But I can handle fat. I slice them thin. They're like hot dogs. Slice them thin. Throw them. I do the stir fry, and then we throw all the stuff on top. Cook it down, and within this fabulous vegetable stew that I'm making here, there's these little nuggets of flavor called, you know, kielbasa, and it makes this fabulous concoction that has great flavor to it, and it's something I look forward to. Bam. Now I'm not using any willpower whatsoever. I'm looking forward to lunch. All the only willpower I have to do is I have to make it on Sunday.
Yeah, so you have to prepare for your day a day ahead. You have to get your lunches ready. You got to, you know,
there it is. That's
set up all your supplements.
Yeah, that's the system. That's exactly.
Set up your chia drink.
Set it up, and then I just let it run, and then I just got a smile on my face, and I'm going, ooh, is it lunchtime yet? Because I'm looking forward to it.
But it's every day. It's every day you get into this routine of setting yourself up for the next day, and then, you know, setting yourself up for sleep. That is another important routine that needs to be done every day. An hour before bed, you start winding down, getting ready for bed, taking that vacation that you recommend everybody take for the last hour of their day.
Yeah. I don't do anything productive the last hour of the day.
Yep.
I go on vacation
every
day.
No screen time.
Nope. I don't write. I don't do any business. I don't clean. I don't take anything except for emergencies. You know, if the dog barfs, then it's like, oh, I'm off vacation. I'm on the clock now. But that's rare, right? We're trying to set the dog up so it doesn't barf. Right? So, and mostly it doesn't. But, you know, barring emergencies.
It just feels so impossible to stay consistent, at least for me, just by, you know, the nature of life
it
and
is.
How freaking fast everything
it
goes.
It's impossible. You're right. Let's be clear about that. Everybody listening, I'm going to tell you right now, you cannot be perfect. It is impossible. You cannot set up a system that it never varies. It's impossible. Don't even try. It doesn't work. Don't even try. Seriously, it's a waste of time. What you do is you set up a system and you mostly follow it. That's as good as it gets. It's called good enough, and good enough is good enough, and that's what you do. Now, if you set up a system and you never follow it, then you didn't set up a system. You played this pretend thing and didn't mean anything. So that ain't it. So what you got to do is tell the truth. Really, tell the truth. What is it you're going to do? Set up a system that you can actually do. There's lots of ways to skin a cat. You don't have to do what I do. I do the same because it worked for me in my life, but you don't have to do it the way I do it. You could do it however it is you want to do it. You just got to set the system up and run it. Then, after a week or two, check. Is it working? How do you feel? What's your weight? What's your energy? You know, how do you feel? Bottom line, how do you feel? Do you feel good? Is this working?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is yes. Bam, you hit it. If the answer is no, you need to adjust.
Mm-hmm.
You need to figure out some other kind of thing that's going to work better. And now you can scratch your head and think, I wonder what else I can do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a matter of setting goals and then achieving them, because that it's crap. I'm sorry. That just doesn't work. What better is you set up a system, warts and all, you know, because that's what it is. You don't always follow the system. You're including the parts where you don't follow it.
Right. That's part of the system.
That's
exactly.
Part of the system.
Yeah.
Because you don't do what you said, because that's part of the system. And then you got to figure out how many times can you not follow the system? And then see what happens. Just run it.
Like 5 days a week out of seven.
Just run it.
It's fine.
See what happens. And if it works, how it works is, again, you check in with yourself at the end. And, you know, after a week or two, and you say, well, how do I feel? And if the answer is good, this is good. We just did it. You know what? I can eat 17 chips a day, and I am fine. Huh? Or I can't. I eat 17 chips a day, and I gain 3 pounds a week. This doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Where all of us are different. Some of us can eat chips and some of us can't. Some of us can eat ice cream and some of us can't. Some of us can, whatever, do lots of things and other ones can't. Let's get a better example, alcohol. Alcohol turns out to be a health drink for most people. It turns out to be freaking poison for some of us.
How is it a health drink for most people?
What happens, it's a good, excellent question. Alcohol is poison.
Yeah,
it is.
It's a solvent.
Poison. Yeah, it's poison. And so what it happens is you take a little bit of poison, and what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Okay, so you're talking about hormetic effect.
Yeah, hormesis. It's a hormetic dose is what it is. And so you get the hormetic dose effect of you taking some small amount of poison, and your body deals with the poison, and it makes it stronger. Now, this is controversial for sure because, you know, there's some poisons that, forget it, any amount is just going to kill you. I mean, how much cyanide can you take, right? Is there a hormetic dose
of
cyanide?
Well, yeah, and then there's so many people out there who don't just take it in moderation whatsoever. It's abused more times than not.
It doesn't work for those folks. Now, I know there are people. This is a good question. Okay, how you answer this question is you look at societies, like Finnish people or Scandinavians in general. Or
not Americans?
South America, wherever. You pick a group.
Americans are failing.
And you look at this group and you look at what subpopulations, what's going on with those ones. And what we look at is people who drink in moderation, particularly high-quality alcohol, are healthier. They have less heart disease. They have less depression. They tend to be happier and healthier. They tend to have better hair. I mean, really. I mean, you look.
I think that this is another episode that we need to get into. I think that this. I want to know the evidence and the research supporting this because I don't believe it.
Well, because your personal experience is this is crap. The people I know who drink do horrible. I mean, you have this world that you've seen
yeah.
with your own eyes.
Yeah,
and it doesn't correlate.
You know, I have been around those who are moderate with it, who can handle it, who have a great time with it.
That's me.
Yeah.
I have a cocktail a week every Sunday.
I know. I've been to your tiki bar.
Yeah. I have a tiki bar in my house. And I make a cocktail. Actually, a cocktail every week. And whoever's over on Sunday, I make them a cocktail too if they want. Not mm-hmm. for everybody. But and turns out that, you know, it's fun. And I can do it. Now, I can't do sweet cocktails because it pushes my blood sugars
up
too much.
Yeah, no pineapple juice.
No pineapple juice. So I do, sour cocktails or bitter cocktails, and they're fine. And actually, they're good. I do well. It helps me feel good. It's not like I want to do them every day because it's not good for me, but I can do it occasionally, and I come out as a better version of myself. And it's possible to live a life of moderation. It's not easy, and it's not for everybody. And I want to stress that point. There are people, they do exist, who cannot do a little. They just can't. They do a little, they do a lot. And that's just how it is. And they're just made up that way. And it's not because they're bad or wrong or screwed up or something. Their brains are just different.
Yeah.
That piece of them that controls that bit mm-hmm. doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I live with somebody like that.
I am that.
Well,
you work with somebody that way.
I work with somebody like that. And my 9-year-old is that.
And yeah, my 8-year-old is that. And like, you know, when you put ice cream in my freezer, the same principles apply. And I just can't have a little. I have to have all of it.
So what you do, and you've said this already, I want to stress this for everybody who's listening. What you do is you just don't do any.
I set a pattern to set me up for success. I don't buy it. If I go and get ice cream, I'm going through a drive-thru or, you know, going to Hot Licks, I'm getting a single serving, and I'll do that if I have to.
Yeah, what about alcohol? You doing any alcohol?
No, not doing any alcohol. That
not
stopped
even close.
A long time ago. That yeah. was 8 years ago almost.
Yeah. Why?
Because I couldn't have just a little, and it yeah. was ruining my life far worse than ice cream ever did.
Yeah. So there it is.
But
that's it. There it is. You set the pattern. The pattern is none.
Mm-hmm.
And then you do the pattern. You can do this. Look at how good you are. 8 years now you've been following this pattern and having it work. Well done.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what I want to talk to everybody about. You set a pattern and you stick with it as best you can. Now, we said you don't have to be perfect. Now, with some things, you do have to be perfect because otherwise it wrecks you.
Yeah.
Alcohol is one of those things.
Yeah.
Drugs, because when you get into drug effect. Now, is sugar a drug?
Yes. Caffeine? Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. And yes. You're going to absolutely destroy your endocrine system. The further you go into caffeine, I know we're over.
We're done.
We're done. We talked about setting up.
We're
going to
do another show. We're going to continue this conversation. Let's cut it off now.
Okay.
Talk on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by White Spruce Medical in the Steese Medical Center. To listen back to this or any past programs, simply log on to KFARradio.com and go to the archives page for more health talk. Local stories, local programs, local news, local talk radio. We are KFAR.